Well, just understand that I'm not coming from a naive position. I've been there. Okay.
Good. Good. You? Good. Great.
We're here to get both sides.
Oh, that's right.
That's what the whole thing was about.
Yeah. And that's what it should be about. With all of them.
Thank you.
There you go. Hey, Rudy, how you doing?
Good, good, good. How you doing? Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Sylvia?
Good afternoon.
You do?
Okay, this is a special meeting of, and actually a first, with the city, a city council and the Chamber of Commerce, and it's March 1st, and it's now a little after 2 o'clock, and we'll have roll call, please.
Yes, Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinault.
Here.
President Scherer.
Here.
Vice President Ennis. Board members Garner
here.
And board member Turton. And for the record, there are several board members from the Chamber of Commerce on hand.
Okay, thank you. Now is the time for any public comment regarding this item that we're meeting on today. I will probably, however, as we go along, try to see if any of the members of the public would like to comment. But there is an opportunity now if you'd like to stand up and speak to any of the items that are on this agenda. Stop it. Seeing none, do any of the Chamber of Commerce board members have any comments to open up with?
Actually, we do. Thank you, Mayor. Whatever the protocol is, we normally speak from the podium, so we were going to go for that.
Okay.
First of all, we'd like to take, on behalf of the Pismo Beach Chamber, thank you for taking this opportunity to meet with us. We're both very aggressive community organizations that look out for our members, look out for our community, look at how we economically will be viable as a city over the next few years. The other thing is, though, the Pismo Beach has a mission statement. I'm going to read it to you. To support, promote an atmosphere which will enhance the economic vitality of our businesses and quality of life in our community. That's what we're all about. Everything we're going to talk about today stems from this as being the forefront. When people look at us, where are we going now with the chamber? A lot of questions come up. And some of those questions are, where do we see the future of the chamber? We provided on each of your desks, and I'm not sure if Kevin, did you actually email the strategic plan to each of them?
Oh, yeah.
We've given you our strategic plan just so that you can see where the chamber is focusing and how we're looking towards 2005 and beyond. A couple of things that come from that is membership. Members are what we live and die by. But the biggest part of our membership is membership retention, making sure we're meeting the needs of our members, no matter what the subject is. A couple of things that we look at when we're starting a strategic plan is, are we meeting the goals? A lot of people want, as any financial institution goes through its checking and balancing, there's some deviation at the end of the year to take those that are delinquent or out of business or have changed their marketing plan or their business plan. So the real net number is 10, and that's a strong focus. We're truly aggressively pursuing that on a monthly basis, but also we're going to culminate it at different times throughout the year through major focuses. The other thing is, when we're talking about our businesses, we don't just look at it of, oh, we're here to do what they need here and there. We really need to ask them what they want. And that's truly the other part of the equation, is to do what our members need and want. One of the things that would be coming up as far as trying to help segment our population. We can say we have almost 400 members, we have this, this, and this, but we want to know that we have 30 restaurants that are truly members of our organization that we want to support. A couple of fun things that we're looking at is 30 things to eat before you die in Pismo Beach. This will be something that we're putting together that will actually be a benefit to two segments of our population. One would be our restaurants so that they can get an idea of what their number one item is and make it exciting and fun for our businesses so that they can have continuation from people from out in the community. Hey, I've got to eat here because I'm still needing fish tacos off my list from Scotty's. Going through that situation, but it's also something we can give to our hotels. Our hotels have a very vast amount of visitors coming through, and they always ask, what should I eat? Hey, here's 30 things you should eat before you die. So if you're here for one day, let's keep you for 30 and get you a meal a day. Those are things that the Chamber is truly looking at, is something that small. Also, on the flip side, we're looking at issues of giving out an oracle of information is what we need to be. TOT, our next newsletter is going to actually have TOT. What is the actual TOT that this community is making through the process? That's on the front of our newsletter this month coming out. The reason for that is our numbers need to be out to our public. We're going to be looking at sales tax. We're going to be looking at all these aspects of what makes our business thrive. To say that we have some kind of event or something else that is pressing into the front page, we're aggressively changing our mode to our truest function is to give all of that material to our members so that they can business plan, that they're able to see our business cycles, and truly know that if they're making decisions that are going to affect their financial well-being, because it's a trickle-down effect, if they're successful, we're successful. We are successful. The other thing that comes out of this is we're also tailoring our computer tracking. We're adding new features. An example, we're going to have real estate as a category now because we have almost 40 members of our chamber are actually real estate agents. This is an important link to their personal websites, and this is a way for us to be able to continue to funnel the numerous amount of hits that come to ours. On the average, it's over 10,000 hits coming through if you would average it out over a 12-month period per month. That is a big channel of information going out to our members, and then we're actually breaking it down to those segmentations so that they can see what's being tracked. And did you actually have 14 hits this month through, or is it maybe we're not linking you properly, or is it something that we need to modify together? How do we improve our web pages together? Those are the things that we're looking for as a chamber. The other thing, which will be Bill's exciting moment, and I hope you go online to PismoBeach.com, and it's the PismoChamber.com. You want to take a poll on parking right now.
I've already voted.
And you've already voted. But the other thing is...
5 times.
Yeah.
That would be not factual because we put a counter in there so you couldn't. We decided Bill could be there all night, so we just went ahead and you get one shot, one deal off of your vote. But that's where the chamber is going out and saying, hey, we need to look at the situation. But what we all feel might be the right mode of action, our members might have a completely different perspective. And that's who we represent. We do not represent the interest of ourselves. We represent the interests of our members. The last part of this, when you're doing the numbers and all the things that are going together with the chamber, an aspect of our business is also how we work with the community and our community leaders. The example I use here is City Council. We have a contract together with the VIC. That is a contract that we have that's reciprocal for both of us in that process. We are looking at other aspects today with the different things of events. The other part of this, though, is what are we doing as far as supporting things of the city? An example I will give is we're going to hold a Java junket about the car show, and it's going to be actually March the 7th?
April 7th.
April 7th, excuse me. April the 7th, and then what's going to be happening there is they're offering up some business promotions for our business members downtown. And this was through with Mike Madden and BIG, B-I-G, and other community groups to get together and see what we're doing as a whole. We're not just asking to take. We're actually giving. And that's the difference that we want to leave you with through the presentation today, through all the things that we're going to look at. We truly want to be a partner.
Parks. No, seeing none. I'll come back to the council. Does the council want to make any opening remarks at all? Okay, just welcome. This is a nice first. So. Okay, well, we'll get right into it then. And the first item, and if Rick's going to take over, I guess you're going to be the speaker for the council or for the chamber. to start in with your agenda. And the first one on our agenda is the events, 4th of July, etc. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah, my job is to basically work on the discussion for the two items, events and then the VIC contract. We're trying to, that's part of our strategic plan, is to discuss these two items. I'm going to probably walk you through the past, present, and the future for each of the three events and also for the VIC with a proposal at the end for you to consider.
Okay.
Let me start off with the events. We think that there should be a fundamental shift in how we view events in the city. We feel that the events, and we're talking mostly on our three events, which is 4th of July, Clam Festival, and the Band Review. These events are part of our community fabric. They help us revenue-wise for the city, revenue-wise for the business community, give us something to do as a community as a whole. We feel that right now there is not this kind of feeling that these events are an integral part of our community. So what we're asking here through our proposal will be a more interactive part on both sides with accountability on both sides. And I'm going to lead you through why we think that that's a good idea. Right now, as we stand here, without doing anything, we could be sitting at a board of directors meeting of the Chamber of Commerce. I could raise my hand and say, I move that we change the length of 4th of July from 22 minutes to 12 minutes because I think it's too long. I don't like it that long. We could do that. Now, I don't think we should be allowed that kind of flexibility or that kind of determinedness to basically change an event that most people view as a city showcase event. Another thing, I can raise my hand and say, let's no longer do the Clam Festival. Or let's move the Clam Festival out of October or whatever. If the Clam Festival is truly the city festival, the Chamber of Commerce shouldn't have that latitude to unilaterally make a decision like that. Because it affects lots of the community, it affects businesses, it affects the revenue sources of the city. So that's what we're trying to lead you through right now today, is to say, let's get something going between us that gives the sustainability to these two events. Or three events, I'm sorry. So let's switch over to the 4th of July. In the past, the 4th of July has been heavily related, it's heavily needed donations to keep it going, and that was its primary funding source. About 10 years ago, I was on the chamber then too, and we had a vote saying, let's raise it from 12 minutes to 22 minutes. We think we have enough money that the community is behind us in donating. Let's go in that direction. So we did do that, and that's how it got basically through a vote simple like that. That's how it got going to the position that it's at today. Well, almost within a couple of years, the donations started drumming up, and we tapped into, which was originally an ambassador event. You might not realize that was the golf tournament. The golf tournament was originally an ambassador event. And so that made some money, and so we said, well, you know, we needed some money to fill in for the donations from the 4th of July failing, and so that's how the golf tournament got in there, and all of a sudden the next year or so the golf tournament was like, let's have the golf tournament and give all the money to this. Well, over the years, we've had to count now on, we've come in front of you from the city, we've gone up from $1,000 to $5,000 as a subsidy for that. And this, you know, in the years past, we had to do the Harley raffle plus the golf tournament. So those are things that related to getting all this money to fund the 4th of July. Currently, the 4th of July is 22 minutes long. This year, it'll be funded from a $5,000 subsidy from the city and donations, and then the chamber fills in whatever's needed to be left over to satisfy the event. Now, the future of the 4th of July, once again, more or less minutes, who decides? We could also sit there in the chamber could say, you know, enough's enough. We're tired of doing the fundraising. You know, the fundraising should be done for other things, other purposes, business development, our community, the members, everything else could come into play. Let's just decide that the 4th of July is going to be however long the donations are. So if we get $20,000 worth of donations 1 year, it's that long. If we get $5,000 worth of donations, it's that. You know, and once again, I don't think we unilaterally, the chamber, should be allowed to make that decision without conferring with the city and what's best for active to the situation if we make changes to it. So a lot of people are depending on certain things happening as far as events. So we moved it back to October this year, and we finally, on our cell, on our own, said enough criticism, we're going to try it this year without the gate fee. So already, no matter what comes out of this meeting today, we're going to do it without the gate fee. So we're going to roll that dice. But that puts Clam Festival on a very short leash as far as we're concerned, because we're going to try to cover the gate fee by more vendors and do a better job at building the Taste of Pismo, which was a pretty successful event. So we're committed to that action already. But the sustainability of the Clam Festival has some big asterisks on it. And, you know, that's one of the things we're going to hopefully decide today. So then also on the future of the Clam Festival, who decides when it should be enough's enough? You know, I don't think as an event that's what pushing Rebecca now, 60 years?
59 this year.
59 this year. I don't think the chamber or a chamber board 2 or 3 years down the road says enough's enough. We're tired of losing money. We're gonna stop the event or we're gonna pull back. Obviously the city could take it out and try to get somebody else to do it or something like that. And you gotta remember, the Clam Festival for many, many years was at a kind of a private committee. That was more like what the Harbor Festival is and the Strawberry Festival and AG, what they do. But, you know, that kind of fell by the wayside. And truthfully, I'm the oldest standing member in service of the chamber right now, and I don't recall how it got dumped into the chamber's lap or how we assumed it or were we assigned it by somebody or what. So anyway, that's Clam Festival. Band review, people don't really realize the real true importance of band review. First of all, for the community, for the business community, it's November dollars. And November dollars are real hard to come by. It's some of the largest single days of our restaurants in the downtown area. Because you drop that kind of a crowd and they all want to eat lunch at the same time. It's huge days down there. Now, not only do we not have some of the support of the citizens over our events, that were three events we're talking about, there's probably people up on the hill that would love to have 4th of July go away because they can't move around their town. But we think for the greater good of everybody, these are pretty important. We got merchants downtown right now that basically don't want to contribute $1 to band review because they think it's always going to be done. So there's problems on both sides of the coins trying to sell us. They're saying, oh, band review will always be here. I don't have to give my $100. We're saying, well, look, this is a consistently losing event. We need your support. So we're trying to do a better job of selling the importance of the band review. But here's the real, real importance of the band review. The band review is really good advertising for our community, and both for visitorship and any other purposes. Because what it is it brings a never-ending, changing group of people. As people move through the grade school, they come to bands, they graduate out, new people come in. And so we always are exposing our city to a never-ending, changing group of people. So they come here, and their first exposure to Pismo Beach is during the band festival. And we don't know this, but we were suspecting that a lot of people come back and say, hey, that's a great place to vacation. I went there with my kid for the band review and had some great food and saw the ocean and all these great things. I'm going to go vacation there. So we're saying that the band review is probably, out of the three events, is one of our best advertising vehicles for the beauty and just overall fun that this town brings. So we're thinking, how else can we better spend some money than to bring these kinds of people in town? Band review comes with its own set of circumstances. It's a logistical nightmare. We've been basically moved out of the Factory Outlet Center. We're back over at the Portuguese Festival, which means we got to move the bands over both of our main north-south streets.
I have two questions, please. Yeah. I'm only asking you so I won't lose my train of thought. How many years have we had the band review?
This year will be the 27th.
27th. And then also, why were you moved out of the outlets?
That's the Factory Outlet Center question. We were wondering, you know, one of the things we've heard.
Who notified you?
Factory Outlet Center said no more. And this is, of course, it's not the greatest venue to hear hearsay, but, you know, the best story that I've been able to piece together is we were told for a couple of years that it was the band review was the Factory Outlet Center's best day. You know, in other words, it brought all these people to their front door. It came with a lot of problems. They You know, the kids worked over the vegetation and the planting there. They worked over the bathrooms. And so there were some problems on it. But I heard, and this needs to be confirmed, obviously, but what we've been told is one of their major tenants said, no, got to get rid of this.
Now okay, so were you notified by phone?
We were notified by Shelley Zamudio, who was the former general manager of the Outlet Center prior to her leaving there in December, that the merchants had come together and gone to her corporate office, and the corporate office made the decision that that parking lot would not be used for staging any kind of event such as the band review ever again.
Because we closed the whole loop down and there was no bands marking by, and so it was, you know, just a little logistical thing. So,
excuse me, do you know what some of the qualifications were for the judges, why they were being paid such a large amount?
We sent out last year an RFP to other judges associations trying to explore some lesser expensive options. Typically, this is what the judges are paid. Each judge is paid $250 for the day, and they have to be state qualified judges because it's a state sanctioned event.
Okay, and could there be something like gift certificates?
In addition to the fee that we provide them, we provide them their lodging and meals while they're here.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's the largest expense that we incur for band review, in addition to the trophies.
They're a very demanding group, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, too, is the bands have a hard time raising the money to get here. So it'd be nice is to lower the fees to enter because their costs are just so high. What did you say, Rebecca, on that? I remember you telling
me. The entry fee for each school that we charge is $150 per school, which we look at that and think that that's not that much money, especially for some of these larger schools. But their transportation costs for them to get here are up over $1,500, some of them over $2,000 to get the students here. So a lot of them are going to their booster associations and that kind of thing, but it gets cost prohibitive for them. So anywhere where we can try and help save the schools some money.
And could you have a scale for smaller schools and on up for a larger school?
That is a possibility that we could look at, yes.
So all three of these events we're working on to make them better, to make them more self-sufficient, but we're worried consistently about the sustainability of these events. So what we're proposing here is to basically enter into a city contract to put on all three of these events. And why the city contract is important is because then that would eliminate us doing something unilaterally that may be not in the best interest of the city down the road, like shortening the 4th of July, basically doing away with Clam Festival. If we're going to do away with Clam Festival, we'd like to be standing in front of you all or standing in front of the city manager and say, this is why we think. And then come back, and instead of just being unilaterally out there operating out of left field, we'd like to have something going on between us. So, you know, is the Clam Festival truly the city festival? Maybe you all and we all think it's met its demise because there's no more clams around, or we want to go to a butterfly thing and making that. You know, we out there operating by ourselves basically should have some interaction and some accountability for these things. If truly they're city showcase events, that they're truly part of our community fabric. And so we're singing a city contract and standing in front of you all on budget time or whatever and being able to talk about it, or standing in front of Kevin and saying, okay, it's time to talk about our contract. Here it is. We would want some performance clauses in the contract. In other words, the 4th of July should be at least 22 minutes long. We should at least bring 24 bands into the band review. We should at least have the Clam Festival in October, so everybody can count on it, so we know how to make our plans, that band review is part of the traditional Veterans Day event. Now, for that, here's the money situation, that's the 10-10-5, is we're thinking of subsidy for each of the three events, and not interrelated, not intermixed or anything, and it's basically $10,000 for 4th of July, of which right now there's $5,000 on the table, so this would be an additional $5,000. $10,000 for the Clam Festival. That basically ensures that the gate never comes back and bites us in the butt again. And $5,000 to sustain the band review. Now, if one of those things were to go away, we decide to do away with the Clam Festival, any subsidy that would be attached with that at that time would also go away too. Now, this is not making the Chamber's life any easier. We're still going to be dedicated to getting the donations, fundraising, and doing all of the other things that we've normally done over the years. What we're saying is that this small subsidy would basically assure the sustainability of it. And more importantly than the subsidy is that now we have accountability to each other, that the community is truly embracing these events for what we think all along it should be. And also it frees the chamber up from some sitting there and scrambling and having Harley raffles and golf tournaments and event A, B, or C, or D coming up that we might have to do to fundraise. And then we get back to our real job of business development. Because a strong business community, just think of what it contributes. It contributes as far as revenue to the city is concerned. It contributes TOT, it contributes sales tax, it's a major portion of the property tax, or a good portion of it, especially as the way our downtown properties and properties, commercial properties around town are turning over. It has business licenses, it has other service fees. So a strong business community, which is what our job is we want to encourage that and develop that. Just to give you an idea, we set up our committees recently, as Sean did. 14 of our committees is what we set up this year. 8 of them, well over half, have to do events. I'm the head of the government affairs thing. What am I doing? I'm here talking to you about events. Events.
Five gives the chamber $20,000 to subsidize events. And the council has taken those monies and they've specifically stated which portion of that $20,000 goes towards which event. So that's similar to the proposal that we have here today with the 10-10-5, but it's $20,000 in Grover Beach. The Arroyo Grande Chamber of Commerce does no special events at all. The Strawberry Festival is, in fact, not a chamber event. It's put on by, I believe it's their Downtown Association or Downtown Improvement Group. And also that goes the same for the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce. They do not do special events. So it varies from community to community.
Okay. So, Marianne, unless you want to discuss this, I was going to move on into the other thing, and then we can come back at the end. Because
let's come back to the council, see if they've got any questions or comments on this first part that we've talked about events.
I think in the past we've talked about our short memories. So I would like to discuss a little bit of this and then go on to the next phase. Some of the questions or comments I had. Now, I heard you say that for the band review, I'm not going in order here, but just as I scribble my notes here, for the band review, the outlet center is no longer new, allowing you to have the band review there, so now you're going to use a parking place at St. Anthony's, is that what you
going
said?
Going back to where it was at before, it was at the Portuguese Festival, Rudy, wasn't it? Am I not right?
Okay, now are they charging? Right. Are they? I'm sorry, go ahead, Rudy.
Yeah, it's at their property because it's a huge piece of property that they've got down there.
That parking.
They're perfectly willing to let anybody use it.
Oh, perfectly willing, and that was my next question, are they charging you?
There's no fee that we're charged, but they will not be opening any of the buildings there or the restrooms, so we'll still incur a fairly significant expense with bringing in the porta-potties, which is something that we also did at the outlet center to rectify the early situation there.
So you had porta-potties taken down to the...
At the outlet center,
Center. And where were those? I don't recall saying those.
Those were in the front row of parking along Five Cities Drive down towards Mikasa.
Okay. And then... not to be negative in any way, but I just think that contracting with a chamber for events, that in my opinion, if a city would contract, they should do it with a company that does events, not the Chamber of Commerce. And that's, I'm not saying that I don't feel we should give more money to 4th of July, but just to contract with the chamber for events, it seems like it's way out in a different direction.
So let me say, what we want is, the main thing, the main point is we want accountability, and we want to interact somehow. So I used the word contract. I figured a contract would be good. Here's the situation. How can we have an agreement where we don't kill the Clam Festival or knock 10 minutes off of the 4th of July without a contract and a memo of understanding or something between us? That's what we're looking for. If you guys can come up with a better idea, or Kevin or Dave comes up with something better, all I say is that I don't want us out there, or 5 years from now, as we're looking, you know, down, you know, we're visioning down the road as we're talking about, is how do we make sure that this event, if it's truly a showcase, you know, the whole nine yards that I gave you, then how do we stop from acting unilaterally unless there's a contract of understanding between us that we can't go out and severely alter, shape, change the event that so many people count on? That's the question.
Okay. So. Well, I guess maybe, Mr. Turton, it is the word contract, because I'm not interested in contracting with the Chamber of Commerce for an event. I think if you're going to have a contract, you would do a company that's what they do. They put on events. So that was one of my things. And then about the golf tournament, originally there was plenty of funds brought in from that golf tournament. And then the way I understand, I was talking to one of the board members, and they said, well, it did bring in a lot of money. And then different organizations heard about it. They started having their golf tournaments, and all of a sudden this dwindled down to didn't bring in any money. So I don't think that's the chamber's fault, that there's now no income that comes in from that golf tournament. I don't think it's this board doesn't bring in money from the golf. I think it's just something that happened. So we have to think of a different events for that. I think there is ways to bring in funds. And then on the Clam Festival, so you're not going to charge at the gate this year, and that's your only income.
Well, it's one of our main revenue sources. We also collect from vendors and
sponsors
and stuff like that.
So if you're needing more money and you're asking this council for more money for the Clam Festival, but you're saying we're not going to charge anyone anymore. If the buy celebration, and if the chamber needs more money, I think this council should really think about giving them whatever money they need to support that 4th of July. And that's all I have at this time, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the events?
What I would like to know is that are we going to make a decision now?
Well, no, it's just kind of a time, I think, to comment, to say your feelings, ask questions.
And then when are you going to? Then when are we going to make a decision?
Yeah. Well, we could do it.
I mean, I think we ought to take this section and make a decision.
We could do that. We could absolutely do that. Okay.
Then I have a commenter.
Okay.
The best use of the chamber's resources is not being in the event business. I look at the man hours that is spent by the chamber. I have known five of the former executive directors, starting with Bill Clausen, very well. And a common theme that comes out of that is, my gosh, if we didn't have to do the fundraising for this stuff, we could make this happen and this happen and this happen. And I agree with that. Because the Chamber of Commerce, in my estimation, should no more be in the event business themselves than the Pismo Beach City Council should be in the event business. Neither one of us should. That is not our jobs. If you're in the event business to put money in your coffers into your general fund, then that should be your choice. It's nothing to do with the city council. You know, I'm not speaking from a naive standpoint. As I was telling Sean earlier, back in the late 70s, I belonged and was on the board of directors of the largest chamber of commerce in the state of California. And that was the city of San Bernardino. It was such a wonderful atmosphere on that council, because one of the things that I want to go back to is the membership. It got to the point that every year we would have a membership drive, but not everybody could participate. You had to earn a right to be a part of that membership drive. Because after it was over, it just so happened that one of the gal's husbands was a police officer, and he was shot and badly wounded. And so what they used to do every year was they used to celebrate his being shot. You'd have to know these people. But everybody would have to come dressed as gangsters to this party. And I've still got pictures of home with me with the hat on and the white and the black shirt and the white tie and all that kind of stuff. But it was an honor to be able to be invited to this because the Board of Supervisors came, City Council people came. It was an honor to be on that, to be invited to that. And so how you got invited was through membership, getting more members into the organization. And it wasn't just by saying, okay, well, every board member's got to go out and get five members and every ambassador's got to go out and get five members and those types of things. Heavens no. We were on teams and we had a team leader. And what we would do is we would go out into the adjoining communities. Now, this was an area chamber of commerce. It was a San Bernardino area chamber of commerce. So it was bigger than just the community. But we would go out into these areas, just like we should be in Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande and Avila Beach and even San Luis Obispo for that matter. And it would be a challenge. Who was it back in those days? And it was one of the airlines anyway. We had some contacts there, and they would actually have wonderful prizes like, you know, some of the chamber events that you have. But what it was, slave auctions, and I don't even know if slave auctions are still viable or not. But we used to have them here in this town years ago and call them something else. Don't call them a slave auction anymore. But, you know, I remember Dick Blankenberg serving booze over at the old
Trader Nick's.
You know, I remember, you know, that they would get city council people, they get prominent members of the community to go out and do these kinds of things. There are creative things that I don't see coming out of the Chamber of Commerce. What I see coming out of the Chamber of Commerce is, oh, my God, here we go. It's January again, and we've got the 4th of July in 6 months. And
so your
that's
point
not the way a Chamber of Commerce ought to be operating. No, please don't slow me down now. I'm not going to talk much longer. Just let me get it out. But that is not your best resource with the Chamber of Commerce. And I know you all do that, and it's only $25 a year or whatever it is, da-da-da. But that isn't what we did with them. You know, when I was a little boy, and I'll never forget when I was in, I probably was second grade because I can remember, when they were going to make me a traffic guard, and I had this white belt that came across me in the middle and had a little badge on it. Boy, I'm telling you, I couldn't wait to get out there and stop traffic and have the kids. I mean, I was really something in second grade. Got my first kiss in second grade, too. But what the citizens can do is what I saw in Old Town in Sacramento when we were up there. The Chamber of Commerce had these people in very brightly colored vests. They had brochures of the city in their hand. As the cars were coming by, these people out there waving to everybody. If they saw a parking place, oh, you know, there's a parking place over there. Or they'd walk over and give them directions. About every third one had a radio in their back pocket, so if they saw something going on, they could immediately call the police department and get a response to it. You know, that's the kind of enthusiasm that you're going to get for the residents, that you're going to get more money into the downtown core. The business people are going to support it because it's a fun thing to do. It's not drudgery. And I believe that that's where you need to go to, is make it fun. And also, like, being out on the pier and just shaking somebody's hand and welcoming them to Pismo Beach. I was in Shelley's one day. I had Ian with me, and he and I are sitting down there eating a hamburger. And you know me, I'll say hi to anybody, which I generally do. But I happened to see the people. I made eye contact with a gal across the table. And I got up and went over and shook her hand and said, "Hi, Bill Rabinall, city councilman. I sure want to welcome you to town." I thought she was going to hit the floor. 30 years I've been coming to Pismo Beach. Nobody has ever thanked me for coming to this town. That is an honest-to-God true story. You know, it's that kind of enthusiasm and everything that can generated. But it's the Chamber of Commerce. It's your kind of an organization that is going to generate that. It isn't these stuffed shirts sitting up here. Believe me, it's not. So that's all I've got to say right now for the time being. I'm be interested in seeing where the discussion goes.
Okay, who wants to be next? Rudy, would you like to speak now?
Well, I feel bad for that clam festival, for one thing. I really do, because that was our standard, and everybody sees that it's had its day, and I see it too. We're going to have something a lot bigger coming in, And I'd like to see it. And that's the butterfly event. I worked with Sheila Boone for almost 4 years to get this thing to come to fruition by getting Senator McPherson to put it through the legislature and the Senate, and he got 100% okay on it for February 5th. February is like a dead month in our city, okay? Mm-hmm. We've got to capitalize on that. It's very, very important. Now, whether the chamber is going to handle it or whether the city is going to handle it, somebody's got to do it. And we had short notice this year, but next year, February 5th, should be a big day, big celebration for the city. You can bring in an awful lot of revenue. And one of my ideas is to have an event where we crown a Miss Monarch Butterfly to honor that day. Now, we've had a situation here just recently. There were, I think, two large busloads of seniors were coming up from down south. The CBB was good enough to prepare packets for them and pass them out to the people. Those were returned to the city because the docents didn't do anything about it. I personally was out there on February 5th, asked the docents, all these people are in this park right now. Did you mention to any one of them that today was Western Monarch Butterfly Day? They said, no. Why? The city of Pismo Beach should do that. I said, excuse me. This is a function right now that's under the auspices of the state. If you felt that way about it, why don't you call the city of Pismo Beach and make communication with us? Let us know. We would have put signs up. But right. There's another thing. They won't even allow you to put signs.
Yeah, state.
So I've spoken with Sacramento on this. And what I'd like to do for next year, whoever's going to take this over, to have Senator McPherson down here, Maldonado, and everybody involved in this, because they're all looking at this. They like the idea. And have the world's renowned expert from Chicago come out, and a couple of the people from Cal Poly who are supposedly experts too, and have them here. Have this thing advertised. You're going to have they're planting the cocoons underneath the milkweed pods, and they're getting them all set up. So they're making a big class project out of it up there. They're doing the same thing down at Huntington Beach.
Right.
In fact, Sheila's on KOCE down there, and she's constantly on that station, you know, promoting this. But she wants to do as I want, make Pismo Beach the place to come for the butterflies.
Absolutely.
See? So I've been working with her since 2001, and we're getting there. We're going to get there.
Okay, so, Rudy, do you have any comments about the three items that we had on the agenda, though?
No, but I want to bring that up because I don't see it on here. I wanted to bring that up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but that doesn't tell me.
Okay. Shelley?
Sean and Rick stated that the chamber represents the interests of the members and that these events are important dollars for the business community. And forgive me because I don't have my data from the CBB minutes. Do we have data that reflects sales tax or TOT that shows that the city's really benefiting from those two events, not 4th of July, of course?
Well, once again, the band review is November dollars, which you'd have to wait extra over what, you know, August dollars, because it's hard to get dollars out. And it's a huge day for us there. If you look at TOT and sales tax for that month, it probably does prop that up. I would have to dive into the numbers a little heavier, but November is related closer to October than it is to December in TOT, and if you figure sales tax generation follows suit, you figure that's a pretty important thing, and then probably the only thing we really have going besides the day after Thanksgiving, which is also important in November, is the band review. So I think that there's a case to be made. Plus, it's cheap advertising. When you figure, let's just take the $25,000 that we're talking about as a subsidy for these things. If you were to give that to anybody,
CVB, for say, how could they best spend that to bring anything close to the amount of people that we're talking about here coming to town? That's the way we look at it, is the big picture is all of this could be lumped into very cheap advertising for a city that is so very dependent upon tourism and visitors.
Mm-hmm. And if we decided to, and not use the word contract, but say maybe a MOU,
yeah.
How would you see the city having a power in the decision-making? Would someone have to sit on that committee? Or how would you see how that would work?
The big picture right now is coming out, and we find this immensely valid, is your discussion about the Klan Festival. I can't tell you how many times these people in the audience here and the board has agonized over, is it too old? Is it, should we shift to a butterfly festival? What? But we feel responsible for it to the community because we view it as the city festival. You know, and are we going to be the guys that are going to kill that? Because, you know, as you saw, Arlene, look at the attendance. You know, we were talking, you know, the gate fees. Well, the gate fees are dwindling fast. In 2 years, well, since 2002 to 2004, we've seen the gate attendance drop in half. Well, if it keeps going like that, we're going to all of a sudden have vendors that are not going to say, I'm not paying you anything because there's nobody here. So that's why we're rolling the dice unilaterally to sit there and say, let's see if we can build it back up the other way. But it puts the Klan Festival on a short leash, like I said. And we see now some opinions up here is the Klan Festival, maybe it's past its time. But where does that decision come from and who helps us make it?
I agree, although I met three couples there that found this on the Internet, and one was having their 50th anniversary, and they chose to come to the Klan Festival. So there's three new couples that I met that had never been to Pismo Beach before. Even though it's dwindling, there was that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd hate to see it discontinued. Maybe it could be year 60 and end.
Well, we're trying our best to revitalize it, but if it keeps losing money, then we're going to have to make a decision.
You want to continue?
Sorry. Well, just the other thing. The city already, we contribute $4,500 to the Easter egg hunt because that's a city sponsored through Parks and Rec.
Right.
$3,000 for Pumpkins on the Pier.
That's really our event.
Right, and $2,600 for Holiday Harmony, which is a little bit more combined with the city because it takes place downtown. That's all I have to say.
Because you're mentioning that because it is something that's held that the merchants can kind of glean some...
Right.
Some benefit
Pumpkins
from, is that what
Pumpkins
your point
and
is?
Holiday Harmony, we try to contribute. And I know BIG throws in money for those events, too.
Right. And the BIG, their main fundraiser is the car show and Klan Festival, you know. So
oh, really?
We raise money at the events, too. So it's kind of, it's all intertwined.
Okay. Is that what you wanted to say?
You.
Okay. Now I'm looking at your figures from the Klan Festival.
Oh, okay.
And I'm saying, okay, this is... the one place you're making money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Marianne. But what we see is an escalating situation that's going spiraling down because of the criticism of the gate. That's why we're a fly show. It's a clam show.
Yeah.
You know?
So probably the attendance decline was due to the fact we moved it to a different time of year. So there's a little bit of a reflection there. I have some mixed emotions about what we should do about the Clam Festival.
And you're not alone on that.
But you know, that is the one place that you're, you know, gleaning a little bit of money. On the 4th of July, I mean, I don't want to see that diminish because I think it's really an important event, and I think we've tried to increase our contribution toward that. And I realize that the golf tournament, I think, you know, was initially put on for the benefit of the 4th of July. Then later on it became... you know, is to defray expenses all around in the general fund of the chamber, which is okay. You know, that's not a problem. But I'm just trying to. So is the really is the expense on the 4th of July for the fireworks itself?
Major portion of it, yes.
Jeremy's our numbers man, so that's
yeah,
why
know that.
He'll answer that question.
You're pretty good at it, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In the years past, approximately 60% of the cost of the fireworks, 60 to 70% is from the cost of the actual fireworks.
Which one? What are you talking about? The last one?
Fourth of July.
The $19,000 for 2004?
She's looking at this sheet, Jeremy, on this sheet.
Right, so I'm just telling her a portion. The 60 to 70% of the cost, let's see, last year it was 65% of the cost of the 4th of July was
okay,
the fireworks.
Okay, what are the other costs related to the 4th of July?
The entertainment that's on, the promenade, miscellaneous event expenses,
insurance
costs related,
porta potties,
things like that, the stage and facilities that you have to have for the band and entertainment. Those are our major costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, you know, the marching band review, I think, again, because of the change, was it a change of time on the band review, too? Was it held at a different time?
It's always Veterans Day.
It's always Veterans Day,
always
so
Veterans
it was held the same.
In 2004, Veterans Day fell midweek, so there wasn't a true three-day weekend there that weekend, and there was a competing band review going on in the Valley,
really,
which we usually don't come up against.
Yeah, because
so.
I think that's an important item, too. And I want to point out that it appears that, you know, you were taking care of this totally, but the city is also contributing to this by, you know, police services and public works services and
absolutely
blocking off the streets, mm-hmm, and things like that. So it's not that we are participating at all. And I think we've tried to contribute to a certain amount dollar-wise for the 4th of July. I don't know. I'm going to bring it back to the council again to see if you have any further comment, if you want to, you know, put it up for a vote and make a decision.
Madam Mayor, I had one more comment I had two, actually. One was about membership, and I know it must be hard to go out to other communities for them to be members of your chamber if they don't find some benefit to it. But I, after my first SCAT meeting, I spoke with a person in charge and asked him if he'd be a member of our chamber, and that we had nonprofit organization rates, and he goes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was like just there for the asking. So I think there are people out there that are still that haven't been tapped into.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's he's
Rebecca,
willing to do that.
How what's our percentage of membership that is outside the city of Pismo Beach?
Just over 40% of our membership is outside of Pismo.
Okay, so it's 40%. Okay. Definitely viable what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I just wanted to mention, it's not really tooting my horn nor Mayor Reese's horn, but Rebecca said that a lot of the cost for the band review is, in fact, the trophies. And last year, Mayor Reese and myself each
sponsored
a trophy. And I think communities, you know, people in the community should, if they really knew about it, mm-hmm, they would. I mean, I had done it the year before, and then she said, oh, you did that? Well, I'd love to do that. And so that made two. Mm-hmm. So I think if you get the word out there, there's people that probably just individuals that enjoy the band review that would love to donate towards the trophies if they knew about it.
One of the things we did this year that we got lucky with, we did convince somebody to give $1,000 that had never given it before, or else we had even been further in the hole. So, and they look like they're going to continue sponsorship or that size donation. Also, BIG historically has given $1,000 to the band review. So, you know, we are counting on certain things, but, you know, we're going to try our best to make it grow. Once again, it's the sustainability of the event if we run into a problem or something. It's not a free ride what we're asking for the chamber. We just want to say, let's put this in and sustain it.
This person that gave the $1,000 this past year and looks like they're going to again, how did they learn of this, about the donation?
Talking about what?
The Clam Festival. If we are going to let it go, I'd just love to see it at least make the 60 year, mm-hmm, beans. We're so close to it.
It probably will, most likely. I think after, realistically, if I had to put a time frame on the Clam Festival, I'd say we have to give it 2 years. This year, and then we assess it. By the time we assess it, we'll probably go through the year, and then if we have to, shut it down after that.
Okay, any other comment?
I just had a question. Other than for 4th of July, the extra money that you want for Clam Festival or band review, how will that add to the success? What will be different with those dollars?
Well, the success of the Clam Festival would fill in that gap that we're facing right now. We're rolling the dice with no gate fee. So that could immediately, if we don't do a good job of going out and convincing more vendors, et cetera, and raise money that way, that's our only opportunity right now, unless we do what Arlene was suggesting, keep the gate there anyway. But we're pretty much tired of the criticism of the gate. That would fill in that hole, basically, that the
gate is going to do. Now, if we successfully raise more money, then that subsidy would help us make the event even better by bringing in entertainment or whatever to make the event better. Band review is, what if Splash and BIG can't come up with the $2,000 that they normally give, or somebody else, and all of a sudden we have a big gulp there? We're saying that the $5,000 would make sure the hole's filled, and I would love to see us really lower the fees for the bands and saying, hey, bands, we realize you guys are in, you know, dire straits economic-wise, too. We have an event for $10 or free or $50, but see, that subsidy would help us give that latitude so the band review entry fees wouldn't be so critical to the success of the event.
Do we have any hoteliers that would not comp a room or discount the room for the judges?
They've been nailed over the years big time with these guys.
Actually, the Spyglass Inn for the last at least 3 years, Jim, 3 or 4 years, have donated those rooms for the judges.
Oh, great.
We work at getting those guys taken care of, but they're a pretty demanding group.
Rudy?
Has anybody ever thought about going out like PG&E, go out to the large corporations and talk about donations?
Actually, you know, kind of yes and no on that. Kevin really came up with some good ideas for 4th of July that we had never tapped into, and we could also do band review. Remember our discussion with some of the veterans groups and some of, I think you mentioned Vandenberg and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll listen to any suggestions and operate on it, because we're thinking 4th of July, if we do it right, might be an easier pill to swallow. But mm-hmm. then on the other side of 4th of July, let's just say we're doing good and the donations are coming in. Would we ever, or would you let us unilaterally decide when to push it to 30 minutes or 28 minutes, or is 22 minutes the cap on it? You know, that's another decision going in the other way. If we're getting flush or throwing another $10,000 and really put up more fireworks during the 22 minutes, or should that be us unilaterally deciding? That's kind of, we're asking for this cooperation. The contract maybe is a bad idea as far as nomenclature is concerned, but we're saying, you know, let's get in this together, especially a showcase event. But you're absolutely right, Rudy. Yeah. PG&E, and, you know, we've had them come and go over the years, but we can't count on them all the time, especially if the economy turns weird or something like that. You know, who knows?
Well, the reason I brought that up is that for the League of California Cities, we went to the corporations like that, and they were very successful getting it. In fact, they wanted to give us more than we asked for. So I think that they'll play the game with us.
Well, you see what Unical does for Avila Beach. So, you know, yeah, we'll find an oil spill maybe or something. But, yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah. You know.
Don't they sponsor the golf tournament, though, Unical?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
They've been doing it on an annual basis, I think.
Yeah, we've gotten help from a large corporate. Mm-hmm. They come and go over the years. You know, it's all cyclic. And what we're trying to do is, like, once again, pounding the sustainability of these things.
Mm-hmm. The other area in which we're really trying to focus on is an example of the golf tournament. The golf tournament is actually to help build our members' businesses and business development. We are embarking on a lot of new technology that we're wanting to work through our website due to the fact it's one of the most advantageous ways to meet the public, but we want to make sure we tailor it. An example I will give is ultimately we want to be similar to the CVB, where it actually tells you how many hits goes down to each actual member through the process. That's something that doesn't come cheaply. And the golf tournaments and any events that we're trying to raise funds for is truly should be used to benefit our members, and benefit our members in ways of building their business. If it channels more opportunity to that individual, that's what the funds should be used for. And that's why, as a chamber, we're aggressively standing back and saying, if this was my own business, would I continue a function that's losing me money? No, we wouldn't. We would actually close that part of our business down. As a chamber, we've got to be very aggressive at saying, where does our future? Let's not just look at 2 days in a box, hope it works okay. We've always been going on that aspect of the next horizon will be better. We need to know where that horizon is heading, where we're financially stable. The other part is, in all these numbers that you're seeing, there's no economic cost put in for the
or a Harley raffle or whatever. Wouldn't it be nice is to have that go to our general fund so we can put on ADA mm-hmm. clinics and, you know, all of the other good side of the things that we do. And it's not that we don't want to put on events, though, Bill. So, but I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
I think it brings business in, so well, we can't have a disagreement.
You know, all really what I too. See is that, and I know you've all heard me say this too many times, you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. And that's basically all that I'm hearing. You're just talking about it in different ways. The other night, who was it? I think it was Arlene and some. Anyway, we were down at Rosa's, and they happened to have this big meeting in the back room, and it was a bicycle association. Do you know that how many thousands of people are in this bicycle association in San Luis Obispo County? So the guy's talking to me, and of course this was personally. He says, Bill, let's expand your business and let's get into the touring business, going out to the wineries. We'll buy a van and bring them back after they're finished and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you put an emphasis on wineries as an example, to say, you know, we're going to have this event on the 4th of July. You know, because right now you get out there and you have heavy metal music out there on the pier. Renee Dixon, you all know Renee Dixon. She gets out there and she says, why don't we have Pomp and Circumstance? Why don't we have 4th of July music? But you don't. You've got, you know, the Rockin' Gypsies or somebody who... I guess not, you know, but it is totally inappropriate, the music that's out there on the pier, certainly for my generation and the good reverend there.
I think it was different last year, though, Bill.
But at any rate, you know, Rudy, and we talked earlier this morning, none of you were at the budget session this morning, by the way, and
some of us couldn't make it.
I know. We did. Right. But anyway, one of the things Rudy and I talked about at length this morning was lawn bowling. You know, this is an association. You know, why not the chamber contact these associations and saying, look it, we'll give you a venue for this thing. And you know, and we'll, it's huge. I mean, it's much more huger than I think that you even realize.
I do realize.
But the dinosaur caves is an example, to take a portion of that and put it for lawn bowling or something. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get these associations in here or wineries in here that are going to have the same benefit and let you people do what you're supposed to be doing. And it's not agonizing over fundraising for a clam festival. I think that you're very misguided and misdirected in wanting to continue down that road. Now, I'm going to make a lot of enemies by saying this right here, but I would be willing to close down the band marching review as well. I think that is going nowhere fast, and you've shown it to me here with your numbers from 37 down to 24 bands in just 2 years. There's economic reasons. Yes, there was a competition over in the valley that took some of that stuff away, and I understand that. But education isn't getting any richer. You know, there are just economic and reality, I think, that needs to set in sometimes. And I think more than anything else, sitting on the city council up here, that's what I've learned. You know, I've often said I was a much nicer person before I became elected. But it's true. Because the reality sets in when you have to deal with other people's money and other people's future.
Okay. What I'd like to do now, then, if the council doesn't have any more comments, how about if I just go out to the public, see if there's any comment from the audience at all, and then we'll bring it back to the council.
You don't expect me to sit back.
No, I do not.
I knew that.
Not at all.
Like I was watching your eyebrows, seeing how I was doing.
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, Tony Spinelli, Pismo Beach. I got to direct one thing at Bill. And, you know, Bill and I never are on the same page all the time. But you brought up and you hit kind of a hot button of mine, and that's the marching band review. Now, I've always been one about the Clam Festival that, you know, it's not making money, let it go. But when you talk about the kids that come to this Central Coast here on the band review and they participate year after year after year, the band review brings a lot into this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I liken it to, from my standpoint, of the car show. Now, during the car show, I have to close my businesses down for 2 days. But that doesn't mean that we need to get rid of the car show. My point is that I look at it, it's a benefit for the community. And so in looking at that, granted, the marching band review might be a financially dwindling proposition, but what it does for the community and city of Pismo Beach. And my point is that you know, we're trying to find all the answers here, but if an entity needs some backing and we're willing to get take our pockets for a lot of other things out here that we do within the city and our general fund, I think it behooves the five of you to really rethink that and say, you know what, that's right. It's about the city of Pismo Beach. And if it's the entity of the Chamber of Commerce that is throwing those three major events, one of which is really major, and that's the 4th of July, I think that we should reach into our pockets and help it out. Now, and I'm talking as Mr. Joe Businessman. I'm taking myself out of the board situation right now. I'm just saying from a reality standpoint that what we should do is we should really take a hard look at this, even though there's some negativeness going on right now, and make, you know, look at the reality of this. Sorry. Look at the reality of this and realize that, yeah, this is about Pismo Beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council members. I'm Sue Ellen Innes, and I have I'm a business person in the community and also live in Shell Beach and have been on the board of directors for about 8 years. So as I've watched things over and over, I have to remember that all of these events, although they are Chamber of Commerce events, they are thought of as city events, they also are almost 100% volunteer run. And the board of directors, Mr. Rabinal, as you're talking to us, saying, you know, you people, remember, we're just volunteers. We are business people who literally commit a lot of our time.
So are we.
To these, exactly. So we just, we kind of feel like all, I sitting here kind of feel like all of a sudden I'm being told that we've been stupid to participate.
No.
And to, you know, push these events, and yet we thought we were doing, we have literally sat in board meetings thinking, how are we going to come up with the extra money to do that this year? The gate fee, remember, is just the parking lot, the dollars to go inside the parking lot. And what we find is people come to the Clam Festival sometimes, don't want to pay that gate fee, and then the vendors in there feel like they're being cheated because the people aren't coming inside. And yet that's where we were using that money for the bands and for the all the other activities. We get a lot of community participation to put on the events. The Chowder Cook-Off is a huge event that I've chaired for the last few years. And even the tent for the Chowder Cook-Off is like $600. We get that donated to us each year. So each of these events, I guess we're all very emotionally involved with them for whatever reason. I would hate to see the Clam Festival go away. That particular event, I listen to people year-round. My family lives out of Fresno, and all the areas say, oh, we're going to come over for the Clam Festival. They know there's no clams, but that's what brings them. They associate that immediately with Pismo Beach. I just hate to see that kind of festival go away. And yet we're seeing the dwindling funds. And then we talked about the labor, all of the both chamber labor and volunteer labor that goes into the events. So if you did take it and contract it to someone else, I'm sure they're going to want to get paid for all that time and energy, probably. And the last thing was the golf tournament I've heard tossed around a few times. The golf tournament was actually a brainchild of the ambassadors about seven years ago, when I was the chief ambassador, and Bert was on my committee. We started that and honestly was told it would not succeed. It was not started as a fundraiser for the 4th of July. It was started as a fund money to contribute to the ambassadors because we wanted to put on the ball, the ambassador ball we did for several years. That's what we were raising the money for so we could put on the ball. It was kind of a joint. When it was so successful that first year, because there weren't a bunch of other tournaments, the ambassadors decided that because we needed it so badly for the 4th of July that we would contribute the funds to the 4th of July. So then that kind of became a fundraiser for the 4th of July, kind of taken out of our hands, and has since, thank God for Jeremy, been run pretty much by Jeremy and the committee over the last few years. So, but initially we utilized it to plug a hole, but didn't put it there for that hole. We didn't, you know, we didn't anticipate that need. Now,
There are, I think, 7 or 8 other golf tournaments that take place simultaneously about the same time, and it is just, you have to pull your hair out to get enough people to attend that event, and up until like 2 weeks before, we don't think we're going to be able to, you know, pull it off each year. So I guess I'm just really, I'm very surprised by the negativism towards the Clam Festival, and I guess that's very enlightening.
Could I just make a couple of responses, because a couple of things were directed at me, and I just say, I don't want you to get the feeling that I'm scolding you out there, because I'm not. That's not my position. Who in the heck am I to do that? That isn't where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is just the experience that I've had over the last 40 years in dealing with Chamber of Commerces and cities and those types of things, all that I'm saying. A promoter, you contract with a promoter, and take the car show as an example. Do you think for a minute that this new fella coming in to do the car show is not in it to make a profit? Why would he be doing it? If you hire a promoter to come in and do this, they are going to come up with new ideas that we incestually aren't going to come up with, because we've just been at it so long and looking through the same lenses. But contract with this person, and all you've got to do is take a percentage out of it. So, I mean, I can't see where the fallacy is there, and you all get down to business. The other thing is the taxpayers of this community are the ones that are subsidizing what you're talking about. The residents of our community. And let me tell you, other than the 4th of July, there aren't a lot of residents that are real happy with what goes on in downtown during these other events. But yet you're asking for them to pay for it. The third thing that I would say on that, too, is that I don't have the figures in front of me, Kevin, but all combined, how much money do we give to these events in police and fire and putting up the barricades and all of that? So, I mean, those are hard dollars. Do you have a rough?
Yeah, it's about $50,000 a year,
yeah, about 50,000
in police overtime, public works overtime, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
So, total combined.
So, I mean, we contribute quite heavily, and that, again, is the taxpayer that is paying for that thing. And that's our job, is to be as frugal, as best as we can. So,
Bill? Not to get into a debate here on this, let's set the record straight. The residents of this city pay some taxes, but you're talking about the business community that we all need to look to TOT and stuff, and sales tax, property tax, business licenses, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So let's not say that's the taxpayers' dollars. I'm saying big picture here right now, easy decision. Put $25,000 down, and we'll bring you a whole bunch of people to town that'll spend money, that'll put it in the right way. How much do we fund the CVB? You fund the CVB a whole lot of money. Let's sit there and let's fund the CVB an extra $25,000 and let the CVB give it to the chamber to put on these three events if you want to get bypassed. Because I tell you right now, and I have a lot to do with the CVB and I know numbers, you can't give $25,000 any better to bring this amount of people to our town, and we live and die with tourism. Okay, that's it. The residents up on the hill contribute their $1.7 million in property tax, minus whatever the business community does.
No, they sacrifice their quality of life because of the environment that goes on down there. Now, listen, when you say that is not their money, let me tell you, that is our money. That is general fund money that comes in. And for these people to be able to put up with the traffic and the sewer, the $20 million sewer system we're putting in, the upgrade of our water system and all of those things that come directly out of their pocket, don't you tell me that the residents in this community don't have a stake in that, because they do.
They have a stake, but they don't have the majority stake on this. Unfortunately, the business community contributes. You want to save money? You want to save money on the city services? Don't do the city event. You know, that's it. Then we don't have any city services and events that are doing that. Don't subsidize. We're saying that the big picture is, we think in the light of our business community, the subsidy for these events is well worth the return on your investment. And if you don't, then it's left in our hands, and our hands are right now going to be tied with certain things in the future. I'm saying the city festival, the Clam Festival, can bring us some money, and it's valuable. So, you know, we're looking for an interaction, some kind of agreement. you've given us direction. A lot of people out here are seeing, you know, some of the opinions you have about certain things, and we're agonizing in our own little confined hole. So that's, you know, this is good. This is great. I think this is real important, the repartee, the exchange of ideas between us. So we're saying, ultimately, the $25,000 is really minor compared to what we spend to bring people to town, and I think it's a good return on your investment. I think if we took a vote, probably ultimately everybody in the city would like the Clam Festival, the band review, because it's part of the fabric of our community, what makes us different from Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach or any of our sister cities. Also St. Anthony's and the other festivals that we have here, and we're losing events. We've lost the Western Days. We have lost Mardi Gras. For all intents and purposes, we tried the Butterfly Festival. That's gone for now. The October Car Show is up in the air. So we're not doing, there isn't a whole bunch of people standing out there, promoters in our community that are saying, let's go put on an event in Pismo Beach. Why, Bill? I don't know. You know,
you haven't asked them.
You know,
that's
well,
why.
I mean, but the community is open to anybody besides the chamber, company X, Y, and
Z. I'd like to make a motion.
1 second. I have one question. When Terry Henlon chaired the Clam Festival. Oh, well, she volunteered her time, did she not?
No, ma'am.
She was paid?
She was paid $2,000.
She was? She was paid $2,000 and she ran the whole Clam Festival.
Okay. That was when it was a private corporation, I believe.
Yes, it was in the old days.
Yeah, it wasn't actually part of the chamber at that time. It was a private corporation.
You got to remember, the Clam Festival has got more history with private organizations running it than with the chamber. And remember, it got dropped for a while, and Neb pounded the table and says, I want the Clam Festival back. And that, you know, that
so
was
it was incorporated? That was a company that was incorporated?
That right? I didn't know that.
I believe the corporation was dissolved, I want to say, for about the time I was hired at the chamber, about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago is when that was.
Yeah.
It was a Clam Festival?
There was a corporation. Yes.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Madam Mayor and Council, yes. If I could, please. You can't direct us now to allocate monies for this. What you can direct us is to build it into the budget, which we're, as you know, doing. Or you could direct the staff to bring it back, you know, the next council meeting or the one after, if you wanted to allocate monies, but you can't. I just wanted to let you know what you can and can't do at this point,
because
as far
it's
as
not,
the,
it's
as far as
agenda.
The dollars,
yeah,
as far as allocating gotcha. Dollars, if you wished to allocate dollars.
Okay. Do you want to float a motion out there, Bill?
Yes, Madam Mayor and members of the council, I would like to approve the request in its entirety from the Chamber of Commerce, with one caveat. And that is that we are in a two-year budget cycle, that I would like to have the same discussion 1 year from now.
Okay. Are you talking about contracting with them?
No. I'm talking about MOU.
Well,
I think
it's
probably a better way to go. But an agreement, however that agreement is, whether it's a handshake, is how I like to do business. And I think that that is probably the better way to do it on a handshake.
And I would second that. However, I think a few things need to be tweaked a little, too.
Okay, well then, to be brought back at the next council meeting as an agenda item. Yes.
There you go.
And I will certainly second that.
Well, we'll be back, brought back for discussion and how we would do it.
Do you think it'd be a resolution?
Well, if you want to appropriate the funds at that time, you need a resolution.
Okay.
And we can tweak it at that time.
If you're wanting to tweak, so we would just tweak the resolution at that time. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
Yes, yeah. At that time.
But I would like to have a handshake with Sean, mm-hmm. you know, rather than a contract, mm-hmm. as
contract.
Was suggested.
I just used that word. I wanted
I understand.
Any kind of agreement, and I right. agree with you, Bill, totally.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
or probably Rebecca.
Just under discussion, because yeah. what bothers me is, you know, contracting with the chamber to do these events, we now have ownership. So
that's the reason I don't want to do it.
And so...
And I'm hoping against all hope that the Chamber of Commerce has listened to council, particularly me, has listened to council, and will at least explore some other opportunities, a different way of doing things. Status quo is not the same today as it was 10 years ago. And
absolutely right.
that's ongoing right now, actually.
Okay. It's all that I ask.
Of course, for me, I guess the caveat is that, you know, that you can't depend on this every year. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I said we could tweak it when it comes back to the council. I think that's a great idea.
What we're asking for is to be able to stand in front of you and say, you know, here we are. You guys can come back and say, hey, you didn't do a good job here, and we're doing this or that. Mm-hmm. We want accountability, not necessarily an active partnership if you don't want to take responsibility, but just accountability. We've never done this in all the years I've been here, stand in front of the city council. It's been great.
Mm-hmm. May I clarify that that motion for you, Bill, please, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. To approve the 10-10-5 for the 1 year and bring back to council for appropriation by resolution.
At the next meeting, because it needs to be that quick to get into the budget.
In reality, it wouldn't be a 10-10-5 this year. It'd be a 5-10-5 because we're already committed to the the subsidies for the five.
No, we haven't approved the budget yet.
You know, well, that's
it's in the 2005 right now.
Right.
Yeah.
You're correct.
On behalf of the chamber, we do enjoy 10-10-5.
The logistics of it might be too quick to be able to do anything for this 4th of July.
Okay.
Okay, so for the 5 for the fireworks, 10 for the clam festival, and 5 for the marching band review is how that is.
Okay.
All those in favor?
It's appropriation. I think you need to be roll call.
You got to take a vote.